You're listening to SBS News.
Elias Khoury's parents never knew their son was secretly recording rap music. Now his mother, Murray, says it's the only way she can still hear his voice.
My son is a 15-year-old young man. He was full of life, full of happiness, with big dreams, full of potentials. He's loved by everyone. He would have done the world and humanity something important. I don't know. And they just killed him in his own room. And he's a child. This is his right to live, to be protected.
For almost half Elias's life, 2,750 tons of ammonium nitrate was improperly stored just down the road from his home at the port of Beirut. On August 4th last year, he messaged his friends saying he could see a fire had broken out at the port. He didn't survive the explosion that followed. Like many of the victims' families, Elias's mother is now looking for answers.
7 years we were living near explosives. Officials and the politicians, they didn't even warn us. They knew about them all through the way, through all these years, and they didn't even warn us. I appeal to the whole world, to everyone listening to me. Put yourself in my shoes. Suppose it was, your son, your daughter, your brother, that were killed in such a way in their own houses. How would you feel? Don't we deserve support? Don't we deserve justice?
An investigation into the blast was called in the days following, with then-caretaker Prime Minister Hassan Diab promising to deliver its results within 5 days. Almost 450 days have now passed, and still no senior officials have been held to account. The first judge leading the investigation was removed in February after he tried to charge four former ministers, including the caretaker Prime Minister, with criminal negligence. His replacement, Judge Tariq Bittar, has tried to summon high-ranking officials for questioning, only to be blocked by the government. He's had to issue arrest warrants for former ministers who refused to attend court and has been temporarily stood down twice amid unfounded allegations of bias by those he's investigating. Judge Bittar has also been the subject of threats by those who would rather the investigation go away. Earlier this month, he was reportedly passed a message from a senior Hezbollah official via a journalist at the court, saying, "We will remove you." The campaign against him came to a tipping point last week when Shia allies Hezbollah and Amal held protests calling for his resignation. The protests eventually turned violent and seven people were killed. The next day, the spokesman for the families of those killed in the explosion took everyone by surprise when he released a video demanding Judge Bittar stand down. Reading from a script and glancing off camera, the other families believe he may have been speaking under duress. Tracy Najjar, whose 3-year-old daughter Alexandra was killed in the blast, says many of the families now feel unsafe.
We don't have any proof. They can't talk, so nobody's targeted and say, "Yeah, I'm targeted." But we think that, yes, so even us, we're being very careful nowadays. Coming back at night, late at night alone, we're not doing this. Talking on the phones, so we're being very careful as well. The problem is that the government knows about this and the government is not doing anything to make us feel more secure.
Ms. Najjar remembers Alexandra as an easy child who loved people and never nagged, but she says she hasn't had time to mourn her loss.
We miss her a lot. We're enraged. It's a mix of everything. The fact that we're not getting to justice, we're not getting help from our government or anybody else. We're alone in this. So we feel that we are alone. We honestly don't know what to do. We are super sad. We cannot be just sad because we have work to do. So we can't move on.
Alexandra's father, Paul Najjar, says they're having to battle Lebanon's long-divided political elite every single day.
They are split in different parties, sure, but they managed to unite on this case all together to try and stop the investigation from happening, obstructing justice in any way that they can. And they are willing to go to war, as we have seen. Now it's bullets and weapons and missiles against justice. And they're willing to go all the way, but we are as well.
Political corruption among Lebanon's elite is well documented. The country is now in the midst of one of the world's worst economic collapses since the 1800s due to decades of chronic mismanagement following the civil war. But Mr. Najjar says their culture of impunity must end.
If something happened to an Australian, would they expect justice? What world are we living in where justice is inexistent? If it's the case, then let rapers and robbers roam the streets freely. It's our right, our basic right, to have justice for our daughter so that we can move on, so that we can continue, so that the criminals are behind bars, so that it doesn't happen again. It's the most basic human right, which we don't have.
With political interference in the probe showing no signs of slowing, many of the family's last hope for justice is an international independent investigation. Sarah Copland is one of the people leading those calls from her new home in Melbourne. At just 2 years old, her son Isaac Allers was one of the youngest victims of the explosion and the only Australian to die that day.
None of this takes away any of the pain or brings Isaac back. You know, no answers, no, results will ever change that. But I think it is so important for me as a mother to fight for this, because if I don't, and then it's basically saying that what happened to Isaac is okay, and I will never accept that. He was an innocent child sitting in his home having dinner, a place where he should have been the safest, when he was taken in a really, really brutal and horrible manner. And I will never accept that that's okay.
Ms. Copland wants the Australian government to take a leading role in establishing a UN-led investigation. As a member of the UN, Australia can do that by putting forward a resolution at the Human Rights Council when it convenes again next March.
Isaac was an Australian citizen, so they, I think, have a duty of care to Isaac to fight for justice on his behalf. This was not just an unfortunate accident. Members of the Lebanese government, right up until the president, as well as members of the security forces and other bodies, knew that the ammonium nitrate was there. They knew that it posed a risk to the city. They were warned multiple times and no one did anything. And so it's so important for us to just say that that's not okay, because if we accept that to happen, what else are we going to accept? You know, they blew up a city. You know, there has to be some sort of point where we say that they can't get away with this anymore.
Legal Action Worldwide's executive director, Antonia Mulvey, has been advising some of the victims' families since last September. She says they're not calling for an international investigation to replace Judge Bittar's domestic probe, but would like to see the two work side by side.
It can support a domestic investigation. It's not going to muddy the waters or meddle in state sovereignty. Quite the opposite, we would argue. Families, the Lebanese population, we've seen them on the streets. They're demanding justice, and we need to help them to do so. And Australia has a very important role to play in that. They haven't had time to grieve for the loss of their children. That's shocking. We need to give them that opportunity to grieve instead of fighting every day for justice and the truth.
SBS News asked the Department of Foreign Affairs if it would commit to asking for an international investigation at the UN, but it is yet to respond. 14 months after the blast, these families' search for truth and justice has become symbolic of something much larger, the fight for accountability in a country marred by corruption. Human Rights Watch's Lebanon researcher, Aya Majoub, says in that sense, Judge Bittar's probe is already shaking Lebanon's culture to its core.
This judge was a surprise. Instead of, you know, falling in line, he really started going after some of the politicians that he thought were responsible for the Beirut blast. So he has requested to charge, you know, former ministers and current parliamentarians who belong to some of the most powerful parties in Lebanon, parties that before this were, you know, untouchable. If he is successful in charging and prosecuting high-level officials in the government and in parliament, then, you know, it sets a very positive precedent for future judges.
But while the families have popular support from much of the Lebanese public in their search for justice, analysts say last week's violent protests show there are equally powerful forces working to prevent it. Middle East Institute Lebanon analyst Christoph Abinassif says some factions have even threatened to destabilize the country's newly appointed government to have the judge removed.
There's a threat, or at least a likelihood, for the Miati government to fall. I think we're still far from that, but this is definitely a threat that Hezbollah and Amal have either put explicitly on the table or have as a card up their sleeves to kind of arm twist the Miati government. As to why Hezbollah is trying to sabotage or trying to kind of get rid of that, multiple explanations, be it protecting allies, be it potentially knowing something that Judge Bitar has or is about to uncover. I would not be surprised if at the end of the day, Miati ends up caving for these demands.
Claudia Farhat, SBS News.